My message to you this morning has a little bit of it's kind of a strange title, and it's called Between Sundays, and I am somewhat, good night, Dustin, you did a great job on that, on the screen, appreciate that. I'll send him a title, and he begins to work on it that way. Between Sundays. Author Karen Kingsbury wrote a book one time that was called Between Sundays. That's where I got the title from. And it's a fictional story of a man by the name of Aaron Hill. And Aaron Hill was the starting quarterback for the 49ers. Now, this was fictional. But anyway, the whole thing was to describe how Aaron's life seemed to have everything, but yet he had nothing until he begged God to change his life, which is exactly what we were sharing this morning through our act of communion and then singing the song about Give Me Jesus. But the interesting thing about that book is that the foreword, which is written at the beginning by someone else, happened to be done by Alex Smith, who was the 49ers quarterback between 2005 and 2012. And Alex Smith wrote this. He said, as an NFL quarterback, I spend my Sundays during football season calling plays, reading defenses, and avoiding sacks. And all of this takes place in front of a national television audience and 80,000 screaming fans. It's not what we do. It's not what we do in front of 80,000 screaming fans on Sunday that defines who we are. We're not defined by what we do on Sundays in church. It helps, but that doesn't really define us. It's what we do. It's how we live Monday through Saturday. Sunday becomes the outpouring, you might say, of the week. It's a time where we fill up and refresh and we worship. It's what we do and how we live Monday through Sunday. When no one is watching, that defines our legacy. Because it's more than a game we play. It's life. And we all have a chance to make a difference as we live our lives between Sundays. You know, the old saying is, how you practice is how you play, is really true. And it can be motivational. It can be challenging. It can be sobering all the same time. And it has to do with everything we do in life. Every habit we form, every thought, every attitude, every discipline, every action. This will probably happen repeatedly, so don't let it bother you if that's possible. Because I've been fighting this stuff all week. I don't have anything contagious. I don't have A and B, but they have identified an E and an F, and that's what I've got. This thing of between Sundays is for the things we do during the week. It's how we treat one another. It's how we love and treat our spouse, our children, our neighbor, our coworkers. It's how we relate with people. It's what we do in the shopping lines or different things like that. It's how we respond to the responses of others back to us. It's the honesty that we have when we sell something or we make a deal. Or it's the second, third, or fourth look that we shouldn't take. Because how we practice is how we play. And that's how we form our responses. It's how we do the daily stuff. It's the daily stuff that prepares us for the bigger stuff that life will unexpectedly give us. Most people rise to a crisis. Most of us do. They'll come unexpectedly, but we seem to be able to rise to those many times. But it's the daily stuff we trip up. Because it's so routine, it seems. And that's where we need our caution. Because it's not just church on Sundays, but it's the everyday living out of the vows that we have made and the promises and the commands of God. It's a singing of a song like we just did. It's a way to tell God, God, you know, even the lottery, it's not worth you. Just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You know, it's that thinking that puts Him first and foremost in our life. Because in life, game day can come anytime. There's no set schedule. There's no sponsor timeouts. Life comes. With our kids that meet at our Bible study on Wednesday nights, one of the things that I share over and over again is to remind them simply this. I say, do not let circumstances define who God is. And that's the hardest thing many times for us. Because when we don't get what we want, or things don't turn out what we want, we value God. We evaluate God. No. He still is. Because practicing is living life out every day. And it can be routine. Yes. And it can be mundane. But game day is how you play. It's what comes out of you when life hits you. It reveals the quality of your daily practice. So, in comes this D word called devoted. How devoted, how sold out are you and I to living God's way? I mean sold out in the sense that that's what we want in life. Not just on Sunday, but the everyday between Sundays. Are there shortcuts that we take? How close to the edge do we get? Somebody once said that the devil is like a mad dog on a tether, on a chain. And if you walk within the distance of that tether, he'll have you for breakfast. But you know that you can stay outside of that, and that dog can strain all he wants and bark and growl and scrape the ground with his paws. But you're not in range. And that's a part of what happens to how close we get to the edge. Because you don't have to go over the edge to go over the edge. Let me say it to you again. You don't have to go over the edge to go over the edge. Because you go over the edge up here, which leads you to physically go over the edge. I want to give you an illustration of devotion, being devoted. It's a sports illustration. There's no way that I could duplicate this. I'd like to say that I'm man enough to do it. But many of you are familiar with Chip Ingram, and I know Terry and Susie that lead the Bible study there. They've done about three or four of his studies. We did one when I was at Central Community called Effective Parenting in a Defective World. If you can get that, you can look it up online. It's called Effective Parenting in a Defective World. One of the most powerful things to help parents, you know, work with their kids. It was amazing. So Chip Ingram is telling the story about his roommate in college. His roommate's name was Merle. And here's what Chip writes. I'll read it to you. He said, I roomed with a wrestler who later became All-American. He was a picture of devotion. Merle wore a plastic suit at night in order to sweat and lose weight. But before he went to bed, he got out a deck of cards. He shuffled them, and then he put the deck of cards in the center of the floor. And then he would pull a wheel with handles on it from under the bed, you know, an ab roller. Most of you guys use those a lot, I'm sure. And then he would flip a card over, and whatever the card said with regard to the number, he did the repetitions of that wheel, pushing it out in front of him, bringing it back to develop his abdominal chest muscles. Face cards were 10 reps. And then what he would do was go through the entire deck of cards. That's 308 reps. Afterwards, he'd take the deck of cards, shuffle them, and go through the same process with push-ups. And then he went to bed. And the last line that Chip wrote, he hardly ever misses a night. What he was doing daily, what he was doing in the evening, was getting him ready for what he needed to do as a wrestler. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, my goodness, that's almost crazy to be devoted like that. But it's the same thing. It's a challenge to you and I, because can you imagine what would happen, how our church would change, or how maybe our family life would change if we just increased and raised the notches just a little bit of devotion to one another, devotion to God, and that became the normal way that we treat each other. You guys do a phenomenal job of that as a church. It's an amazing thing to watch your love and how you share and care and support and all of that. Because it will change everything. We need to watch so that we become not so busy, so there's no room in our hearts and no margin in our schedules to really love people, because it's too inconvenient. Because if we're not careful in the daily things, what happens is that our faith becomes such that the church is a place we go instead of something that we are during the week. Let me say it again. We come to church. It's almost as if sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll put on a mask of what church is, but then it's altogether different during the week. Huh? That's not to be for a child of God at all. What happens is we're devoted. We're devoted to God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We come Sunday, we're still devoted, but we come with a corporate worship. We lean on each other. We laugh with each other. We cry with each other. We support each other. That's the marvelous thing. In the scriptures this morning, in Romans the 12th chapter, Paul begins to shape this for us in this Romans 12, and it's the NLT, and it'll be up there on the screen, but let me read it to you. He says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. We had a thing for Tim this morning for his birthday. It's a part of honoring. And I shared with Tim early on, I said, you know, we do the birthday thing and we say happy birthday and all of that. But do you realize that the celebration that you have for a birthday is one way of telling God thanks for the life of that person? You see, Paul goes on in verse 11, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always, always be eager to practice hospitality. Hospitality is one of the most powerful things, one of the most common spiritual gifts that people have in the church. It's hospitality. You can change so many lives that way. It's hospitality. Let me put it another way. Let's go to John 13, Terry. John 13, verses 34 and 35. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, this is simple what he says. It may be a little bit blunt, but not in a bad way. But it's also commanding because he said, "So I'm giving you a new commandment." Let's read the whole thing together. Here we go. "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples." Wow. One more time. Again. "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." You see, Jesus wasn't commanding some new program for the church. It wasn't some slick strategy that he came up with that would make a pretty big splash and then be gone. He just simply told his disciples, and from that told us how we ought to treat one another. And he does it this way. He said, "Do it like I did to you. Do it like I did to you." He loved them unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally, sacrificially. He loves us openly. He loves us when we are very vulnerable. Because vulnerable means being capable of being physically wounded or being hurt when it isn't convenient. Jesus met them right where they were, and he loved them just as they are. I think one of the greatest examples I've seen of Christ doing this is when he was dealing with some of the people who were caught, the two ladies particularly that were caught in adultery. I mean, it's amazing the reaction of the religious world at that time. But Jesus set a whole new example. He didn't condone it. And he didn't condemn them. He just let them know about Christ and God. He believed in them when they didn't believe in themselves. And now, through this scripture, he calls us to emulate, to imitate him in their relationships. So why is it so important that we learn to love one another the way Jesus loved us? Verse 35 is the answer. "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're what? The story is told of some businessmen who were who were on their way to a business meeting. They were flying. They were in the airport, and they were coming through the airport. They were pushing it to catch their next flight. And the crowd was there, and they were busy. And there was a girl who was off, a young lady was off to the side in the corridors there. And she had a fruit stand, and there was a setup and a display of apples for people to buy. And the crowd got so that they pushed into that and knocked over her display. And so she's down trying to pick up the apples. And this one man in particular was with this group going to this business meeting. And he stopped and he said, "Guys, I'll catch with you later." And he knelt down on the ground or on the floor there and began to pick the apples up for her. She was blind. And he got them all together. And he realized that some were damaged. And he paid for them. And he told her to have a good day. And as he started to walk away, she goes, "Sir." And he turned around. And she said, "Are you Jesus?" And I thought, my goodness, he just picked up apples. Are you Jesus? The greatest and the most powerful apologetic in the entire world is not an argument out of a book. I'm going to repeat that. The greatest and most powerful apologetic in the entire world is not an argument out of a book, but the love Christians have for one another. You can put 20 honk if you love Jesus stickers on your car, but that doesn't cut it. But the greatest and the most powerful apologetic in the entire world is not an argument out of a book, but the love we have for one another. And I will say, you do it well. Would you stand with me, please? Bow your heads and we'll make preparation here for our time to share and our closing. Heavenly Father, once again, I don't know how you do it, but your Spirit is present. We celebrate together. We laugh together. Yes, Lord, sometimes we hug and cry together. But that's all a part of life. It prepares us for Monday and through Saturday. And Father, this idea of what happens between Sundays is so significant because we take what we've gathered here today, perhaps some of the challenges or the thoughts, some of the things that wake us up and say, you know, I need to have that taken care of. And we do it, and it sharpens us and it draws us closer to you and opens up perhaps maybe a little more room in our heart to become more like you. So thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. And Father, really, this idea of between Sundays is significant because that's where the real living is done, the real pouring out, the devotion that we have for you and for one another.